Who's the only one here who knows the illegal ninja moves from the government?
Chris.
Who throws a shoe? Honestly.
Ben.
Who would steal 30 bag lunches?
Danny.
Oh, you guys like to tell jokes and giggle and kid around, huh? Giggling like a bunch of young boys in the schoolyard.
Shoddy Radio.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, the reason I ask is because we have in studio a guest, and I'm going to struggle with the pronunciation because I've actually heard it two ways, but I think I've heard more Jackie Cation.
That's it. Okay. Cation like vacation.
There we go.
And in studio seems to have literally blown you guys' minds.
Yeah. Well,
in studio, you're like, I don't know what to... You should sit here. Should she sit here? And it's been a lot of that, which is good. I'm on board.
Well, the problem is the studio's huge.
The studio is
too much space.
There's too much space. I just want us to be able to see each other.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's like that scene where you're at the other sides of the long.
Yeah,
long
exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking.
The Batman long. 1 with Michael Keaton. Let's just go to the kitchen with Alfred and make it easy.
And also, the studio smells really good.
It does.
That's why Chris asked the window to be open.
That's, yeah, one of the many reasons. I can see the stink lines on Danny. I don't want to breathe them in. Like carbon monoxide.
Well, and for those of you who don't know, Jackie Cation is a longtime touring stand-up comedian and by far our biggest guest.
You guys, am I the biggest deal?
Yeah, you well, are so far.
We've had a few pretty...
I'm a pioneer.
Yeah, we've had
Next
a few...
Thing you know?
And she's also a fellow podcaster. She has a podcast called The Dork Forest.
I do. The Dork Forest.
Which I love the name of it. And when I told a couple of my friends about it, they laughed at it. They thought it was a great idea for a podcast. So I'm going to explain. Well, I'll let you explain the idea of what your podcast
literally
is.
Literally, like, I think it was like 7 years ago, I did a joke. And I still do that joke. Oh, yes, because not enough people have heard it. So I might as well tell it again. Right? Right?
That's right.
Get it out there. And, but it's about. It's about who I'm willing to hang out with and where I draw the line in the sand and how far into the dork forest you have to go to get to that person, that the war reenactment guy.
Well, the fact that you're here shows your standards are pretty low.
I am still willing to hang. I am still willing to hang with the people. And then so I started this podcast like 5 years ago and then the word dork forest, like what people, it's supposed to be dork on dork dialogue,
because
I'm a dork chameleon. Like whatever game you want to play,
right.
I will try that unless it's scary.
Because
I get started easily.
What? Listen, I'm just going to warn you right now. Don't play any games that Chris wants you to play.
And then the dick jokes come.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I had different people on, and I did it on Blog Talk Radio when they were in beta, and they might as well still be in beta, but it was just a recorded conference call.
Right.
So the sound quality, Sound of Young America reviewed it once, and they said that it sounded, they knew that it was a conference call, so they thought it would sound like AM radio, but it actually sounds like a telephone being held up to AM radio. And I was like, that's a little brutal. Probably accurate for a couple of the episodes. So the audio was dodgy. It depended on what AT&T and Blog Talk were like that day. But I'd have everybody on. I could have people talk about trees, and I'd have people who talked about comic books and video games, like traditional nerd stuff, science fiction.
Exactly.
And then there'd be people who were, like, I had Paul F. Tompkins just on talking about Accessorize.
Yes.
Because he's a fashion dork. He's Dapper Dan.
That yeah, makes sense.
Paul F. Tompkins would also, I would say he's a podcast dork. Because Paul F. Tompkins, I've heard on pretty much every podcast that I listen to.
And now he has the best name podcast ever.
Yeah, he does.
The Pod F. Tompkins.
That's it. Pod F. Tompkins. Which is a pun, and I'm usually against them, but I'm on board.
Wait, you're against puns?
I am.
Let me show you the door there, Jackie.
Don't let the door hit you. Take it on the arches, Cation.
Tell her your greatest pun ever, Danny. I'm sure she'd enjoy it.
Oh, man. I can't think of which pun.
And the thing is I say I'm against puns, but I want to start a chicken recipe called One Wing to Rule Them All.
Ooh.
Oh,
I like that.
And if you know the Elvish word for friend,
which
you get
we
a,
do.
No, you get a free beverage.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, we don't get a free beverage then.
How about you, Ben? Do you know? Do you know the Elvish word for friend?
I don't know.
Ben, do you know the Japanese word for friend?
Amigo?
Yes.
All right. Well, so Jackie's podcast is about different types of dorks.
Right. And it is so loosely defined because I just want to, sometimes I just book it with whoever I've just talked to.
Right.
And I'm like, will you come over to my house and do a podcast? And so it's mostly comics and we end up dorking out about stand up most of the time.
So what I was thinking is first we could talk about what kind of dorks we are here.
Oh my gosh. So yes.
I'll go first because most people would never guess this about me. I play a video game. Well, it's not a video game. Originally, it was a board game. It's called Settlers of Catan.
I know Settlers of Catan.
So that's already dorky that I set up the tiles and I know the number of pips and I'm really good at it. But I play that game
by yourself
online
in like a MMO kind of
community.
Thing?
Yeah, with a lot of people, and I am usually ranked in the top 20 out of about 50,000 people worldwide.
And what people don't know is that to do that, you have to spend at way least too 10 much to 12 time. Hours a day
well, I don't
for
have
at least a couple of weeks.
That's the thing. You don't have... Exactly. You do have to... I would be ranked higher, but I just don't... I work a full job and I do a podcast. So I only play like whenever I can.
Right.
But
mesmerizing.
Yeah,
is Settlers of Catan the one with rock and stone and brick?
No,
all right, that's the one where you trade commodities.
You've just proven
it could be it could be bloodthirsty.
It is. It absolutely is.
Chris is going to close the window.
Sorry.
There you go. And but the could you hear the dog, Ben?
I could.
He was
sounded delicious.
Ben was getting hungry.
I take it you're of some sort of Asian ancestry that they imply that you eat animals.
I'm only half Japanese.
Wait, why would you think that, Jackie? That is racist.
Yes, I'm the racist here. That's the important thing.
They treat me like I'm 700% Japanese.
And that you just got off the boat and you seriously need to wash people's clothes.
Can't you pick up his thick accent, his thick Asian accent?
His thick Sacramento accent.
Yeah. So Ben is definitely a sports dork.
Really?
Yeah.
Definitely.
What sport? Anything interesting or just your regular ones?
I'm a big San Francisco Giants and San Jose Sharks fan.
Is that baseball?
One of them is the baseball. The Giants are the baseball. But we're talking about the world champion.
Okay, because there's a football team named the Giants.
They're the New York Giants.
Oh.
But originally the San Francisco Giants were from New York also. Isn't that right, Ben? That's an interesting sports trivia.
Originally.
But
you like baseball. What do the Sharks play?
Sharks play professional men's ice hockey.
but not NHL? Or?
No, it's NHL.
No, they are.
Okay. I went to one Admirals game once, the Milwaukee Admirals.
Oh, I didn't even know what that is.
It's like
AHL.
It's like an A team or something.
Wow,
you
knew that, Ben?
Yeah, I'm a sports dork.
Ben goes on sports message boards.
Yeah, I like to read sports blogs and then call people morons if they have opinions that differ from mine.
Regarding sports teams?
Yeah.
Essentially, that's what I like about sports is that I can call somebody like a fucking idiot if they think that a certain player is better than a certain player, even though it's all opinions.
Right.
Here's my favorite question I like to ask sports dorks. Do you like sports because of like the drama of not knowing how it's going to end?
Yeah, because to me, it's the only true reality TV.
And
because things that happen that shouldn't happen, you always hear people say that if this was a movie, you wouldn't believe it.
Right.
And I think that's kind of what's great about sports is what should happen happens probably 80% of the time.
It is amazing that so many baseball games come down to the last pitch when – I mean – I wouldn't call myself a sports dork. I'm a big sports fan.
Mm-hmm.
I don't go on message boards about it and masturbate.
I met a guy one time who his every vacation he would go look at a different stadium.
Ben's loves to go to.
We flew to New York just to go to the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown.
All right, see that's pretty dorky. It's like trying to find where James K. Polk lived.
Wait, I don't know who that is.
Except for that, it's a lot easier. He was the 11th president.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, wow. That's really funny that you would bring that up.
That's a good segue.
Because that's really exactly what type of dork Chris is.
I don't know if it could be classified as dorky exactly.
Yeah, that's definitely not dorky. Knowing obscure,
you're so cool.
Obscure
that's my
ex-presidents
favorite thing is when
no
people are like,
knows.
No, knitting is cool. That's not dorky.
Oh,
and I'm
God.
Like, no.
You
that's
have
dorky.
Knitting friends too.
Yeah, definitely.
I just am fascinated by the internet that I could look up James K. Polk's daughter if he had a daughter. I could find out where she was born.
And find a sweet, sweet picture of her.
GPS. You have no idea what kind of footage.
And you said to yourself, 1860, nice work. Nice work.
I love the hairpins.
You know that stare? The hairpins. You know that stare that they always had in the photo, those old photographs?
The serious stare.
Because they're bored.
Looks like they have no emotions.
For 4 minutes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It does seem like people in the old days were miserable.
It does.
Like,
I think they were miserable sitting for photographs.
I think just in general, too. It probably sucked a lot worse back then.
Well, is that some solace? You get some consolation?
I do. I think, like, I'm torn about that, though, because sometimes I think if I was born in another era, if I was born in the 50s or 40s, I would be playing professional sports. But now, just
because of the blacks, now you
can't. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, so that is, well, back to racism, ladies and gentlemen.
No, but now, you can't just be a good athlete. You have to be the absolute most elite athlete to play a professional sport.
Well, and that's the other that's the other thing I usually ask sports fans or dorks or whatever, is that, is it watching people sort of at the top of their game, like sort of the magical things that they can do with their bodies? Because that's why I watch the X Games.
Chris watches something for that, too.
And we're back to porn.
Because women are at the top of their games.
You only watch women when they're at the top of their game.
What they can do with their bodies is spectacular.
It's amazing. That lady is bendy and hairless, weirdly enough. You like obscure political stuff or just obscure fun facts?
I just like stalking people on the internet.
Chris likes.
No, I like picking... I like picking a random historical figure, finding out where they were born, seeing if there's a picture of their house, if I can GPS their current neighborhood, finding out where they're buried, and learning, like,
following, so you just randomly
the track of their
historical
life.
Historical people.
Well, he won't randomly. He won't just think of his head.
And the whole time
I
masturbate.
Here's how it'll go.
You're like, oh my God, look
he'll
at that
be on the internet. He'll listen to a song. The song will mention a name. Okay. Then he'll think, I don't know that. I'll look that up. And then he'll follow that wormhole to the end.
Right.
And when it ends, he'll start digging. You know, like, he'll it'll.
I have fantasies about grave digging.
That's not even a lie. That's absolutely true.
He doesn't want to
do anything sexual. He just wants
to. I'm going
to.
I don't really want to. Like, it's the path I'm headed down.
It's a safe space, buddy.
Right.
But who's someone you went and found that we might not know about? I mean, besides the two guys who've been talking to you for about a year and a half.
Let me think. A lot of it is just like television stars, like or movie stars here's the thing. I'll look at an old movie, like a black and white movie from the 40s, and I'll think, everyone in this movie's dead. And then I'll go find the cast list. I'll try to find the most obscure person.
Will you go through the cast list to see if is everybody dead?
Yeah. Well, no, I'll assume that they're dead.
Okay.
But if you go
and
back
then you
certain
will kill them
distance.
If they're not, because you are wrong.
He doesn't want...
And
that's
then
how,
Ben will go
that's
on the message
would,
board and
I'll
say,
get my,
yeah, you think
that's how much
alive.
Chris doesn't want to admit that he's wrong.
I'll get my senior meals truck and I'll go to their house and make it look official.
No, so you'll then go through the cast and like...
I'll find out where...
And you'll just pick like the weirdest name you've never heard of and...
Yeah, but there's been a few movies where I'll go through the whole cast.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
name
that's
a movie
awesome.
That you've gone through the whole cast.
All right. Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein.
First of all, that's a great movie. And we may laugh, but
I
it's
love
a really
that
fun
freaking
movie.
So much.
There's nothing wrong with that movie. That's just good times.
Anyway, they're all dead.
Are they all dead?
I can tell you where, by memory, most of them are located.
You should look into the career of Zazu Pitts, who has the best name in show business.
He will
ever.
Only
everything
if he's
you
dead.
Mention, I'll look into.
Zazu Pitts. I'd like to actually know where Zazu Pitts is buried.
I'll find out for you.
You know how like certain people have like if you have to know someone to find out something like if you're trying to find if you have a license plate and you can use that if you know a guy that works at the police station he can find out something about the person
in a
you.
Spencer for Hire novel.
Well,
no,
you know,
in
like,
real life you could do that.
If you know someone high enough up in the police force, you can find out stuff.
Yeah, but what do we live in, Puerto Rico? What do you know?
We're not friends.
I'm only using this as an analogy.
Okay.
So Chris is that to old dead actors. Like if you want to find something out about it, if you like don't know something about a dead old actor, it's good if you know Chris.
If you think your dead old actor husband is cheating on you, I can prove that he's not.
Shoddy Radio.
Actually, Jackie, can you talk about how all the the number of places you've done stand up and
been over the years. I was just in Puerto Rico, which is why I know that everybody knows someone up at the police station so that they could get out of their tickets or get some sort of information. And because I did a military gig for the Coast Guard.
Right. Well, that's great.
And who doesn't love the Coast Guard?
Seriously. If you're going to join a part of the military.
Right, because the worst thing that they're doing is letting Dominicans drown because they want to immigrate illegally.
You say worse? Dude,
that's what I was going to say. You say worse?
I think that's the worst thing. And, but the, you start doing stand-up and essentially, I mean, I kind of lucked out when I first started doing stand-up because the guy who owned the club was this nightmare. He's still alive, of course. You could look him up. Sam Kinison's brother, Bill.
Bill Kinison.
And Bill Kinison. He's still alive. He was a big guy for wanting to make some money so that he could have a hobby bar and a cocaine addiction.
Right.
And
you say the Sam Kinison's brother? Man,
I know. I'm shocked.
Not even close to each other.
And
are they biological brothers?
It's and I would do stand up 7 times a week, and I would get paid $10 a week, and I got a 1.8 that semester. And
well, see, that was my point, is that like Chris here in LA nowadays, if you're starting out as a stand up comedian, it's harder than it has been in the past because the market is somewhat flooded.
The market is this town is flooded ridiculously. But if you want to get up, there's a great website of this new guy who's just he's listing like 5 or 6 open mics every day.
Oh wow!
That you could. It's called Comedy Bureau. It's his Tumblr blog essentially, but it's Comedy Bureau, BUREAU .tumblr.com, and he does like. If you had like a giant bag of money and wanted to do a comedy crawl, that's the first thing he does. He's like, here's 9 great shows to go watch.
Right.
And of varying degrees of, you know, $20 to get in, $5 and free. And then the second thing he lists are all the decent open mics that night. And then the third thing is who is his, like he's, what he's listening to or what he's doing. Right. Yeah, sort of. Tip of the hat kind of thing. So
here in LA though, now when you're starting out, they have what are you know, I'm sure know about them. I only recently, because Ben and Chris started doing stand-up comedy, are called bringer shows.
Well, I'm going to say something. Never do a bringer show.
Yeah, I know, but there's so many bringer shows.
Oh
in
yeah,
LA.
Yeah. You know what? There's so many places you could perform for other comics, and if you can make them laugh, that's a joke that will work.
Right. That's
and
true.
And then the only other thing I'd say is if people want to do stand-up, only hang out with people you think are funny.
Well, because Chris, it was nice you to know you. I am not
allowed to that do stand-up comedy. My apologies.
Okay.
And or people who make you laugh.
Right.
I mean,
right.
And granted, if you hang around with comics that are not funny on stage and you laugh at them, yeah, you shouldn't hang out with them. Go to a different open mic.
That's what he just said.
Don't kill yourself.
Yeah.
But the first 8 months I did stand-up, I hung out with the same. I was in Madison, Wisconsin.
Right.
So there was only 7 of us doing stand-up comedy. And when I graduated, they all moved to Chicago. And I moved to Minneapolis.
Oh, wow.
Because guess what? I had had enough of them and their beeswax. So I don't mean to be a jackass, but, you know, and it's not that they're bad people. I just, you know,
You don't have to apologize for understanding what's funny.
What about the dozens of listeners who are out there saying, but I love Steve Marmel. And Steve Marmel.
We don't really have dozens.
Yeah, come on. Don't exaggerate.
And Steve Marmel actually is a very funny guy.
Is he a guy that you used to that you started out with?
I started out with him. He invented or created the Fairly Odd Parents.
I don't know what that is.
It's a Nickelodeon show about godparents. You're gonna really know about that show, Ben, when your daughter is like 3 or 4, if you're gonna allow her to watch television.
He's not.
She's 11 weeks old and she already watches television.
Ben's already teaching her math too.
Excellent.
He got her an abacus.
With the abacus my grandma gave me.
Oh, that's adorable.
I'm just kidding.
We just claim Ben as Asian so we can make racist jokes, it seems like. Like, because Jackie's never met Ben, so just. Right. And he sounds so un-Asian that
he's
it just
also
seems
half
like.
Black.
Yeah, exactly.
It's fantastic. And weirdly enough, half black, half Asian, quarter Jewish.
He's half black, half Asian, so he has a regular sized penis.
Yeah, it's regular.
Somewhere right there in the middle. Well done. That's where the penis is kept, Jackie. Anyway, right there in the middle. I'm here all week. Try the beer. So.
I have a quick stand-up question. Have you ever done cruise ships? And do you recommend them?
No, I've never done cruise ships. And I eat too much, so I don't want to sit on a floating buffet for a week. And B, I hate when people try to tell me jokes. and you're trapped on that stupid boat with all those people going up to you like, I got a joke for you. And I was like, I've literally been rude to people telling me jokes for the last, I would say, 4 years. I've decided that I'm done.
Right.
Because probably 7 years ago, I was in North Dakota, and I was at this glamorous club all weekend. And by Saturday, I had had enough, and this one guy comes up to me after the show, and he's like, you're the comic, huh? I got a joke for you. I just sighed, and I said, is it racist or sexist? And he, huge grin on his face, he goes, it's both. And I was like, and then I was like, then you could tell it to me, because that's hilarious. And it was horrible, and I don't remember what it was, but saying it's both was the funniest thing that I ever said in his life.
And he was happy. He was like, his face lit up like you were some type of psychic.
Right. Like, oh my God, you're going to love this. This is perfect. It's Koreans and children are being diddled. Right. And what?
For our next segment, actually, you led me into this. Actually, Chris and Ben, why don't you guys tell her your stand-up jokes?
Oh my God, that sounds like a fucking nightmare.
I was completely kidding.
And the door opens and closes.
Shoddy Radio.
What is it about being a guy and passing a certain age that you just become that guy?
You just become that guy. My dad, every time we see cows in Wisconsin, as we're driving, he'll go, you see those cows? You know what those cows are? They're outstanding in their field. Hundreds of times I've heard that joke. And I've laughed at it against my will dozens of times.
See, that's what I like. Against the will, but where you don't want to laugh. You really don't, and you're not humoring the person.
No.
But you laugh anyway. That's what I like. It's that you've broken them down.
And it's
so bad, but you've told it enough times that somehow it becomes funny again.
Right.
Only one, but that's there's only true. Funny one time out of, and then 15 more,
right.
You hate it again. But then that's what I look for is that moment when you laugh.
It's like there's
I don't know, guy. I just like that. I really genuinely do like that. And Ben
there's
and
some
Chris
comics who've made
that.
Careers doing that. That guy who everybody loved, whose name is completely escaping me.
Raymond.
He's
Ray
dead.
Romano.
Ray Romano.
Well, you said everybody
he's
loves.
Alive.
That's what we thought you were talking about.
Yeah, you threw a curveball at me with the everybody loved.
Everybody he was on Taxi.
Andy Kaufman.
Man on the Moon.
Kaufman.
That's it. Andy Kaufman.
Oh, man, I love Andy Kaufman.
Yeah, I can't stand Andy Kaufman.
Yeah, well,
that's his whole thing. I was thinking of that when you said that.
That's my, it's just, his whole thing is just to like.
Yeah, I was like, why don't you get a job punching people in the nuts?
Oh, if they offered that job.
I think he would have taken that job.
He would have taken that job. Even he would have taken the job of getting punched in the nuts.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, either way.
Because
I respect him, because he would have taken a punch. He would have taken anything for a laugh,
that's,
I think.
That's exactly what I like about it, is there is a certain dignity to doing anything.
There's absolutely no dignity in that.
Is.
Like Sacha Baron Cohen.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. Sacha Baron Cohen. He will do.
But
he.
Guys like him, I like their story secondhand. There's not a chance in hell I can live through like a live broadcast of the Howard Stern show.
Oh, man.
It's like the movie Open Water. I would rather be killed by means of open water than Open Water.
When I watch anything by Sacha Baron Cohen, I like it, but then sometimes I hate it. I can't take it. Hurts me.
Yeah. It's painful. It's genuinely painful.
Yeah, you literally feel physical pain while watching certain comedy, but I like that type of comedy.
I want to ask some questions if you
please
don't
do.
I a lot of people will ask people who their favorite comedians are or whatever, but I'm always more entertained with who are people that you don't like or that you feel are severely overrated.
Wow.
Don't worry, no one listens to this.
I was going to say, there's a coffin. Why don't I dig my own jump into it and start eating some dirt?
Because Chris will just dig you right back up.
Well, that's exactly, and then I will live. There's people, and the thing is, it doesn't mean that what they're doing isn't appreciated. It's just not my kind of comedy.
No, it's the opposite. You've already established.
Yeah, and comedy is subjective anyways. It's,
so
it's not
subjective.
Like if you don't like it.
I once got in a huge fight with Jim Norton. And when I say a fight, I mean I became the recipient of a lecture series on how I didn't know good comedy because I don't enjoy Dice Clay.
Oh, man. Andrew Dice Clay is so overrated. I'll say it because no one cares what I think. Andrew,
here's my thing about Dice Clay. He's not performing for me.
He is.
I don't
just
know who he's performing for. It's
Hickory Dickory Dock.
It's 18-year-old guys who, you know, whatever. But it definitely isn't for.
Listen. Every racist joke or sexist joke that we make on this show, we are making to make fun of people who like Andrew Dice Clay. It's basically we are
the people who like the people who filled Madison Square Garden when he did it.
How did that happen?
Well, and that's Norton was like,
"How did that happen?
He filled Madison Square Garden. Did you fill Madison Square Garden?" I said, "Yeah, but he lost control of his character.
It doesn't matter if he filled Madison Square. You could I bet you could have filled Madison Square. Hitler filled a country with Nazis. You know what I mean? That doesn't mean that, like, well, hey,
doesn't mean he,
everyone was helping him. Right, it doesn't mean anything.
Steve Martin could fill Madison Square Garden, and they would be different people.
Yeah, it's, there's enough of any type of person in the world, to any category that you pick. There's enough of those type of people in the world to fill Madison Square Garden.
But what Norton was saying was that that's not what Dice was going for. Dice was going for the ironic racism.
Do you think he was? Because I don't.
That's
that
what
up
Norton
from
says,
him.
And Norton is his buddy. Really? They make out. They hang out. It's a lovely.
He's really good at it. If that's what he's going for.
I saw exactly. I went to just a random show at the Comedy Store right when I first moved to LA. I think it was the Comedy Store.
Dice was there, it was the Store.
Okay, yeah, and he just showed up and bumped a bunch of people.
Yeah,
but there was a bunch of unknown people up there, and one of them was hilarious. And then Dice came on and was not funny and was getting angry, lashing out at the crowd. And it's like, I'll laugh at anyone. You know what I mean? Like, I want to laugh. I love to laugh. I can't wait to laugh. I was waiting for him to give me a reason to laugh. And he was like lashing out as though we were intentionally withholding laughs because he was famous to prove a point or something. Look.
Nope.
Maybe other people
You're not supposed to lash out at the crowd. Maybe at least that's what I learned in the comedy seminar I attended.
Now, which comedy seminar did you take, Ben?
I just took a class with a local comedian, John Ross. And,
okay.
I more did it just so that way I could get practice talking into a microphone in front of seven other people instead of a room full of other people.
Which I think it's really good for that, you know? I mean,
that's what it was for me, because I feel like either you're funny or you're not, and that whole "we'll teach you how to write jokes" thing is kind of a gimmick.
Absolutely.
But for me, it was just getting comfortable standing on a stage and having lights in my face was why I paid the $100.
And it was $100.
And absolutely.
For like 6 weeks.
Yeah, do you know what that is? Everyone has $100.
Right.
It's
that's the thing. I'm not a fan of comedy seminars either, because people think you can go there and learn to be funny and learn to write jokes. And maybe you can, but you either are funny or you're not. And
I think the least harm done in those classes is to get people on stage.
That's why I think they're not a horrible idea, is if you go into them thinking, this is just a way for me to get on stage in front of people who are at least on my side somewhat, you know, rather than indifferent at best.
It helped me a lot for that reason, just getting on a stage. I think if I had just gone straight to open mics, it would have taken me a lot longer to get comfortable. I'm not comfortable now, but I mean...
How long was your seminar? How long was the Bobby Oliver classes?
How long was it? I don't know.
Was it 6 weeks or
2 months?
Yeah.
It's 12 weeks.
Yeah.
Maybe 8 weeks?
Eight to ten weeks.
I'm really
weeks.
Bad at knowing how long things take.
Talk to me when Bobby Oliver dies.
There were two people who taught classes when I lived in Minneapolis, and there was a woman who was a terrible, terrible comic herself. But the first class, and I believe the class cost $40, right. And it was 12 years ago. So what you did is you gave her $40, and you could come for, I think it was a month or 2 months or whatever. And the first class, all it was everybody one after another would go on stage, pull the mic out of the mic stand, move the mic stand out of the way, set themselves, grab the mic stand, put it back in the mic, and then get off stage. And just essentially do that as a practice. And I was like, that's not bad. And then if you ever saw this woman, Naomi, do stand-up comedy, you were like, oh, I could do that. I could suck. That's fine. Because she was never funny.
She should have just done that
That's another great thing.
She should have just pulled the mic out and put it back and left.
It's funny how little things can freak you out. Like, probably not you, but me, even still sometimes. Like, oh, the mic made a little too much noise coming out. Now I want to kill myself, you know?
Shoddy Radio.
So, Jackie, did you get into stand-up because you wanted to do stand-up, or did you want it to lead to something else?
When I was a kid, I always wanted to be an actor, and I wanted to act and stuff, but when I went to college, no one ever encouraged that. So when I went to college, I studied political science so I could be a lawyer. And like my second year of college, I went and saw Sam Kinison do stand-up comedy at his brother's comedy club. And I heckled him because was the biggest nightmare that I've ever... And I've had to relive that nightmare. That comes right around, by the way. You ever heckle somebody? Oh my God. And then you get heckled by which is the drunk woman sitting in the front row, which was me with Sam Kinison. And
do you remember what you said?
I do. He was having a hard set. It was right before he blew up, before he got big. Uh-huh. And... he said he was from Peoria, and it wasn't funny what I said. I just had really good timing, so I got a bigger laugh than he did.
Oh, that's nice.
What and all say? I said was, I just said, that's too bad. You know, just one of those, like, last week in Puerto Rico, I was heckled by a 9-year-old, which was good at timing. There was Coast Guard, and their kids were there. So there were, like, 30 kids between the ages, like, 6 and 14. Sitting there with like doing thumbs down, heckling every single comic. And then I get up and this kid was 9 or 11. Uh-huh. And I was like, and I had to close too, which I thought was hilarious. And so I go up and I'm doing my set and it's going okay. And then there's a bad patch, you know, where the room is.
You have a lot of racist Puerto Rican jokes. Well, we should say that in your
It
set.
Was just, the whole thing was a debacle because you had to be squeaky clean for the kids. Uh-huh. And the parents were sitting in the back and the kids were all like sitting like cross-legged on the ground right in front of the stage. Mm-hmm. And just yelling stuff out. And so this 11-year-old kid.
Beat kids.
Well, and he was 9 or 11 or something. You know, I was in a slow spot and he goes, I'd watch anything you're not in.
Oh, snap.
And I said, well, lucky for me, my, you know, self-esteem doesn't come from children. Why don't you go play underneath that table? And he crawled underneath the table and another kid crawled. And then a very mature moment, I'm 40. I said, yeah, there's nothing gay about that. Just the meanest thing to make fun of the two 10-year-olds.
That's the best thing ever. I love that.
But yeah, so when I heckled Kinison, the manager came over and told me shut up.
Oh, and, wow. Well, it's his brother, I guess. Usually the manager couldn't care less if someone heckles. But when it's his brother, it's
sometimes.
Like,
hey, you need it wasn't Bill. It was the manager of the club. Okay. Yeah, yeah. And then I did it again and Sam nailed me and it was fine. And then I did it again because I'd had like 8 shots of tequila and a giant bag of booze and beer. And so the guy finally comes over to me, the manager, and says, hey, open mic is on Sunday. Shut it. And so I came back like 3 weeks later on a Sunday.
That's awesome.
And
you did open mic?
Yeah, stand-up comedy saved my life, quite honestly.
It was funny because
your first... hip-hop saved Lupe Fiasco.
Your first set was just heckles. Like, they need you call that a joke?
You know, Sam Kinison was on stage a couple days ago, and he said something about Peoria. I settled his hash.
I responded like a 10-year-old. I got it down.
Oh, man.
It seems like I've noticed from stand-up, though, is that I felt like that's something that I wanted to do my whole life, and I've always wanted to make people laugh. But after doing stand-up, I think that I'd rather be a writer. Like, I still want to make people laugh, but I don't think I need to be the guy in the spotlight doing it.
Right, or you could be a teacher. you know, I mean, there's like...
Of comedy seminars?
Of comedy. There's big money in it. Come on.
You know what the saddest part about the comedy seminar was?
What?
I didn't know if I was surrounded by, like, morons or if I was just, like, a comedy prodigy. Yeah, it was funny because the instructor was explaining if you reference... At the end of your set, if you reference something earlier in your set that's called a callback.
Right.
And everybody was like, oh, yeah, and that would be funny because... They'll remember it from before. And I'm thinking, either I am fucking the smartest comedy seminar student of all time.
Shoddy Radio.
You can't really, you know, like, you can't really do it as, like, there's a lot of comics in L.A. who are actors. Uh-huh. It's like a gateway to get to the casting
people.
Well,
that's me and Chris. We got into podcasting because we want to be in film.
Oh, excellent. Because that's how you get there.
I read a book.
It turns out cameras are like a nickel. And you could make your own movie. But But and I'm not shit. And I'm not belittling that. I mean, that's something you have to get casting people to look at you. So right. Hopefully you're funny.
Yeah.
Because you are very adorable, and now you're standing on stage with a mic in your hand. So I hope you better say something funny.
Right.
And if you don't say anything funny, it's just it's pretty brutal.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Yeah, they're in LA. They're that's I think a big reason why the open mics are probably so flooded and everything's flooded with ringers is because so many people are using stand up comedy as a.
Yeah, my buddy Vargas runs a bringer over at the Comedy Store.
Vargas
Mason?
Yeah.
He's the guy who took me to Puerto Rico with him.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And really nice guy. Great guy. Has that crazy bringer up at the belly room at the Comedy Store.
I used to do it.
And we all only know 8 people.
Yeah,
that we can strong arm into coming to see us.
Exactly. Well,
yeah.
You can't learn how to do stand-up comedy doing bringers.
Right.
So it's all well and good to do a bringer. But you quickly realize.
Yeah.
The first time I still have friends who saw me do the stand up the first time, and I have friends who saw me eat it hardcore the first time. It was my first paid gig for real. I made $75. I opened for a band that didn't know that there was going to be someone opening for them, and they sang Twist and Shout, and then they got my name wrong and brought me up, and everyone had been drinking since like noon. It was Friday at the Student Union in Madison, Wisconsin.
Student Union.
And it was like 6 o'clock, and I tried to do some jokes, and there was like a pack of guys over on the left who started chanting. They were frat guys, and they started chanting, "Lose weight, lose weight, lose weight."
Frat guys were doing this?
I'm shocked. Again, we're shocked. And I had only been doing stand-up for like 8 months.
Right.
And so I, as always mature, that's my go-to, obviously. And so I made fun of their girlfriends.
Yes.
And their girlfriends started whipping popcorn bags at me.
What?
I know, because I should have made fun of the guys and not the why am I making fun of the girlfriends? They didn't do anything.
Yeah, they dated a frat guy.
They dated,
which is even worse because that's even worse because
that's a bigger crime.
These guys are just guys aren't going to change. They'll do what they can get away with. They're idiots. Girls are smarter than us in that sense. And if you guys could get together and withhold all the vagina from these jackasses, we would live in a utopia.
She's dead, Lysistrata.
Who is dead?
Lysistrata.
I'll look into it.
Yeah, it's
those guys are probably making a lot of money right now in middle management positions all over the country.
Dying slowly.
Exactly.
Deaths. But there was a guy in the front row, perfectly nice guy, offered me a joint. And he said, fuck him, and just handed me a joint. And I said, I love this school.
That might have been my dad.
It could have been your dad.
Probably was your dad.
Yeah. But I got off stage.
Odds are, I can't imagine.
My friend who had seen me do stand-up for the first time, and I'd seen it a couple times, this is the first time. And I just ate it. And I just stood up there and I was like, I got to do 15 minutes. They have to pay me if I stay up here for 15 minutes. So tick tock, I got another 7. And so I just sort of tried to tell my jokes. And I was like, break up into discussion groups. Do whatever you want to do.
But
I got to do my time.
You were more like a detention teacher.
I get off stage and
no chewing gum for the rest of my set.
Taps in her hand and goes, yeah, you had him right there, Jackie. You had him right in your hand, palm of your hand. And I was like, shut it.
That's awesome.
Get me a beer.
Man, I had some more questions, but I'm blanking.
I don't like Lisa Lampanelli.
You don't?
That.
You don't
just
like
saw
Lisa
her
Lampanelli?
Show
no,
because
night.
She's too dirty, or what? What do you? Whoa. What about?
Not
Lisa
that people
Lampanelli?
Don't love her. People love her. She's a moron. She's not. She's not part of the solution in my mind.
Is she? Is she? Is this personally, or is this
no,
more
no, personally, she's a lovely woman. Worked with her. She was lovely off stage. We hung out for approximately 1.5 hours in the car at the club. She did a 15-minute set, and there were no black people in the audience. There was it was Canada, so it was all white people. And so she would point at people, and she'd go, you're going to be my black guy. And then she pointed to another guy and said, you're going to be my Asian guy.
My God.
And I was like, and I turned to her manager and I said, she does not have another 15 minutes? And he goes, nope.
I can't believe you're bringing this up. Last night I was just watching her HBO stand-up, and I always thought she was funny in the roast.
Yeah.
But
she's great,
like,
in the roast. She's mostly, it's shock jock stuff, but she says stuff that is amazing.
Well, that's what the forum is.
Yeah.
But
so
this
she's
is like
the forum.
Her HBO comedy hour, and I watched like the first 15 minutes of it, And it was surprising. Like, I was going to talk about this anyway. She was literally just like, hey, where's my Mexicans at? Oh, hey, Spick. And then she just said, where's my chinks at? Oh, hey.
And it was that. And
she just went every race down the line. And I was like, all right, well, when's the comedy going to start?
Right.
Where's my Pacific Islanders at?
And it wasn't even like new racial stuff.
Right.
Like, no, well, that, of course, is adding insult to injury, is that she's not Zach Galifianakis or Sarah Silverman.
Yes, yes.
Where
absolutely.
She's, you know, trying to create...
Yes, they're, I understand exactly what you're saying. There's a
and both of those guys miss. Like, if you watch Zach and Sarah a lot, and I've seen them do a lot of sets, because
it
they
like
risk
you said sex.
So much, they get great rewards.
Right.
But they risk and fail.
Oh.
You mean risk by what their subject matter is?
Yeah, yeah. Risk and
just
where they're going.
Just because it's so... You have to be on board.
No, it has to be funny.
It has
I don't
to,
believe
well, what
people
I mean
have to
it,
be on board.
Oh, I mean, like, Zach Galifianakis, 60% of America, at least, he could do his perfect set, and they wouldn't even understand that he was doing comedy because...
Well, you know, he used to do this bit, and I think he did it a couple of times on television, where he'd dress up like a 1776...
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
I saw it, yeah.
Yeah, and it's... He does hear ye, you know, and then he does old hacky jokes in like a pioneer, not like a Revolutionary War kind of time guy.
Colonial.
Yeah. Wait. I've never seen that. I got to watch this. Between Two
Google
Ferns
that.
Is probably my favorite thing on the internet.
What is it?
The Between Two Ferns. Have you seen those? Where he interviews.
Yeah.
And he just drags
they get a little bit painful.
That's what I love.
But I will watch him do it where someone will just, like Sean Penn.
Oh, God.
That was
awesome.
That one was great.
Yeah.
People should watch my cartoon. Did you guys see my cartoon?
I did. I was gonna recommend that at the end. I was going to say, that is amazingly animated.
Yeah, that's, I mean, the joke, it's a quality joke.
The joke is good.
Gentlemen.
No, I'm not taking away from the joke.
No, not at all.
I've seen so many comedians do that type of thing with jokes.
Get them animated
and they've sort
and
of
the
been
animation
like,
blows.
The animation, yeah, it just doesn't add anything. It probably takes away, whereas this animation
because
totally
the animator
adds to it.
Is hilarious.
Really?
Because the guy who did the animation is super funny. That he found all these, it's a joke about animals and how, let go. Anyway, you just gotta call
right,
it a
yeah,
day with some of your
when it, I, yeah, when it, the joke is basically when your cat's 19 and it's
and
you
can't
have,
move
and it can't move, but you're giving it all, you're injecting its food, water, and every medicine into it. That's, it's not really living anymore. It's like, what's that girl's name that they had hooked up?
Terry Schiavo.
Yeah, it's the Terry Schiavo.
It's
of
the
cats.
Terry Schiavo of animals. And so, but the animator would do things like he would have people walking around Los Angeles. He had that one woman who had the cat and the baby Bjorn thing.
Yeah, it's very well done.
And he had like...
Well, it's at... we can give out your website too. We usually do all that at the end, but it's JackieKashian.com. You spell it because I...
It's Kashian, K-A-S-H-I-A-N. Uh-huh. And, or you could just go to youtube.com/thedorkforest.
Yeah, that's right. That's
yeah.
Right. That's where I saw it.
But it's at JackieKashian.com.
Are you a fan of Shoddy Radio? Become one on Facebook. Do you have a question or comment for the guys? Email them at shoddyradio@gmail.com or call at 774-633-9669. That's 7-SHODDY now.
See, I really don't read. I only audiobook now.
Right.
I grew up reading, but I nowadays.
But audiobooks are awesome.
They're so well because I so much of my day is devoted to being at work. That
Sarah Vowell, I should rip. I could rip some illegally rip some.
No,
CDs
you mean legally
for you.
Rip. Legally download off the internet.
That reminds me. I was gonna legally download her book.
By the way, our sponsor today, Audible.com. Audible for all your legal.
Don't give them a free.
I'm gonna go back and retroactively charge them for this.
My brother's on Audible.com, and I'm a authorized user. My iPod, so I can take all. He has some of his taste is brutal.
What the fuck is going on over there, Ben?
Sorry.
What's happening?
I don't care.
Sounds
I'm
like
only yelling
traveling.
In because my phone always goes off during the podcast. And
his
never has. So I'm sure this isn't even his cell phone. It's his house phone.
Yeah, it's the house phone.
Exactly.
Because
I know
never rings.
Because I know he would turn off his cell phone. So I was just joking.
Landline.
I didn't even know those existed anymore.
My phone
landlines?
Yeah.
Yeah, they exist.
Thanks, Ben. Thanks for the update. Ben with a quick update on landlines.
Back to you guys.
Our phone expert, Ben Shields, with a quick update on landlines. Do they or don't they exist? Ben, your answer.
What is what are you reading, Ben? Anything? What are you listening to?
I read
sports
labels. No, usually I just read Bed Bath & Beyond catalogs when I poop.
In between trying to get like 3 hours of sleep a night?
I like to read the paper every day. I'm kind of an old man.
Oh, really? When it comes
to that. Yeah. I love reading obituaries.
Yeah, Chris.
Which sounds like a Chris thing, but
I do.
Who are you looking for? Are you looking for somebody in the obits or?
No, you
I just look for people
stories.
Around my age first, because I want to see what why they died and why they're so lucky.
I love that. I'm a little bit older and I was like, nah, I'm not willing to kill myself anymore, but if 2012 is real, oh my god, thank god, I'm done. I'm exhausted.
It's funny because you can read people's obituaries and some people you read about their lives and you think, god damn, they lived like the most amazing life, and then other people it'll say like, Bill liked to play cards. And then it just makes you really sad for Bill, not because he's dead, but because it's the only thing that they could write about him was that he played cards, which probably isn't even true. It just probably means that when they went to his house to like get his belongings, he had a deck of cards out.
Right, that's all the info.
They were like naked
out.
Lady cards. And...
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Let me tell you about my uncle's funeral. All
right.
He was 85 years old. He died 2 years ago. Uh-huh. It was the most boring funeral. I mean, and not that funerals are exciting, but like... Yeah. He was,
Sunday.
Somebody should have had a good story about
these are farm people and this side of my family, and they're just the most boring people ever.
Where do they live?
Corning, California.
We're all from okay. Northern California originally.
Is Northern, like Crescent?
Have you ever heard of Chico, California?
Yeah, yeah, that's where there's a
college there.
Yeah. Okay, Chico, but finish State. Your story. I'm sorry.
The only thing they had to say about my uncle was that he loved Smokey and the Bandit.
I have that on tape.
And he must have wore out his VCR tape playing it. He loved it so much. That was the thing the preacher had to say. Like, and nobody else had anything to say. Like, okay.
What was I going
to
say, though? Oh, about Central California, which people call Northern California.
Well, we're from farther north.
We're from way north,
which is like...
Crescent City?
Well, not that far north, but
nobody's
north
from
enough.
Crescent City. There's like a
I used to go camping in Crescent City.
Yeah, we're close to there.
Yeah?
I mean, we're a couple hours from there, but everyone calls San Francisco Northern California.
Yeah.
That's Central California.
That's almost smack dab in the middle.
If you look,
isn't it?
Exactly. If you look at a map, you'll see
that's
it's pretty much the
California.
Equator of
yeah,
California.
Yeah. So, because my husband grew up in Oroville.
That's where we are from. We're
kidding?
From Oroville. Oh, all three of us are from Oroville. We all.
That's hilarious.
All right. Yeah,
Chris
he
tells me the story
license.
Of Ichi or Ishi.
Ishi,
or...
the last of the Aki.
Ichi.
Oh my
you guys
god.
Are from Oroville?
Oh my lord. That's,
oh, that's
hilarious. All three of us went to high school together in Oroville.
Oh,
two of us were voted funniest seniors at Oroville High School.
Which two?
Raise your hand if you were rated if you were voted funniest senior.
I'm raising my
Ben's
hand.
Raising your
Raise
hand.
Your hand if you think a recount
is needed at all times. Let me tell you something about Oroville. There's
have you
a
been there?
Gig. Yeah.
Wow, this is crazy. This is what we should have been
Holy
talking
shit.
About.
Yeah. Well, we'll do the last.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I can't believe
up,
you know Oroville.
Because there's an Indian casino up there.
Of course
there's
there
two
is.
Of them.
But two of them.
There's two of them, but there were none when Andy grew up there.
When we grew up there either. They put them in at the end of our high school.
Right, and he was like, there aren't any Indians.
No.
Who are the Indians that get to have a casino?
There are like five of them.
My favorite story about Oroville is that I get offered this gig at the Indian casino up there, and Andy's like, what Indian? I'm coming with you. And I said, please do, and give me the Norman Rockwell tour of Oroville. And
wow.
He said, there's no possible way to give you a Norman Rockwell tour. I said, I can give myself the meth lab tour of any town. He's like, I can only give you the meth lab tour.
Yeah, there's a meth lab. We could give you a pretty good tour of Oroville.
Well, and the thing is that dam is gorgeous.
Yeah.
Downtown Oroville is very, very pretty. I said, if we ever have to live in Oroville, I want to live downtown. And he said, we're never living in Oroville.
No, never living.
No, not unless you have an unlimited supply of weed.
No jobs.
Everyone there does.
Yeah.
It grows wild in the hills around it, literally, because so many people grow it in the like thick forests around there. That,
right.
And then they'll get busted for drugs.
Yeah.
And they won't find, they can't find their way. Then no one's tending the thing that they were growing, and they're in jail. So then it spreads.
Andy's dad grows weed in a national forest where he lives in Arkansas. And he had one of the first GPS things I had ever seen. And said, what do you use that for? It was like 7 years ago. And he goes, well, mostly just to find where I planted my pot. And I was like, I think I saw that on 60 Minutes.
Yeah, no kidding. That's awesome.
Oh, man. Andy's dad's pretty awesome. His whole family, Andy's dad and mom, are from this tiny town in Mississippi. So,
what's the name of the town?
New Albany.
We're from New Albany. All three of us are from New Albany.
Here's my
driver's license. Yeah, we'll go out on that. Well, thank you for coming in, Jackie.
Thanks a lot for having me.
Thank you very much.
I want to give out your website again, JackieKashian.com. Excuse me.
It's Kashian, like vacation.
Can you spell it one more time?
It's KASHIAN.
And the Dork Forest is a great podcast to listen to.
And you can go to DorkForest.com and see the shitty website I put together there. I cobbled together.
That'll
lead you back to my halfway decent.
So thanks again for coming into our quote-unquote studio and hanging out with us. It was a lot of fun.
Thanks.
Thank you.